Skeleton is a, if you have one. Okay. When I was 5 years old, living in Albany, Oregon, on Chicago Street, right next to the rail tracks, next to Geary Street. If you know, you know Albany. And a great big lightning storm was happening. I was scared to death. And my big grandma was at our house that day. Big grandma, because she was taller than little grandma. And that's how we tilled them apart. And so big grandma was at our house, and I climbed up on her lap. And I said, "Grandma, I'm scared." And she said, "It's okay. God knows where you are." And she wrapped me up, and I was safe in her arms. And I remember another time when my little grandma, Grandma Ruby, I was so proud when I was taller than her. And little grandma was my mom's mom. She, I didn't know until we did her funeral. Back in 1986. She died at 94 years old and had moved from Dickinson, North Dakota to Albany, Oregon in 1937. My mom was 5 years old at the time, and little grandma, from the time she was 30 till she was 40, had seven kids. Mom was the youngest, so grandma was 40 when mom was born. And little grandma was just a quiet but influential person in my life. She was always kind to me. When I was hungry, she would make me my favorite syrup sandwiches. Little butter, little syrup. Oh, that was good. You like those? Yeah. And she was just always there. And at her service, when we were celebrating the gift God gave to us through her, I heard, because they opened up to comments from the congregation, person after person after person say how much that little grandma of mine helped various people in various ways over the many years there. And I remember feeling quite proud. My little grandma. And oftentimes they spoke of her prayer. And I know that my little grandma prayed for Delbert Durfee, her little grandson. And I truly believe that I'm standing in front of you today as your pastor because of little grandma's prayers. Wow. How important are grandparents? So important to us. Grandparents, you are more important than you think. If you have grandchildren who you do not see very often, but you touch them through the Lord, you are very, very important. We can gain a bigger picture of the importance of grandparents when we learn of 2010 statistics that there are 7.2 million grandparents who are raising a grandchild 18 years or younger in their own home. Grandparents are vitally important. Let's look at some scriptures. You can follow along in the outline, the sermon outline in your bulletin. Psalm 103. Verse 17. Psalms 103, verse 17 says this: "But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to the children's children," the grandchildren. Grandparents, this verse is to you. 2 Timothy 1:5. 2 Timothy 1:5. Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, Timothy, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am now persuaded that faith lives in you too." grandparents, you're important. And then Deuteronomy 4:9, which I read to the kids, be very careful and keep your mind and heart focused on God and His Word. Don't forget the things your eyes have seen. Grandparents, your eyes have seen a lot of things in the years, have they not? And don't let God's wisdom leave your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and to your grandchildren. Make them known. That's the theme today, grandparents. Make them known. Let your grandchildren know the good of life in Christ. Let them know the good of life in relationships. Kids who are still here, your parents are not smarter than you. Now, before parents, you tar and feather me, let me explain. God created you, kids, just as smart as your parents. You're just as able to learn as they are. The one thing your parents have that you don't is life experience. When I was 16 years old, I was going through a life experience, and my mom and I sat at the kitchen table, which we did often, and talk. And she gave me her wisdom about that situation. And I didn't really want to hear that wisdom she was giving me. And I said, Mom, why do you think this is the thing I should do? Why are you think you're smarter than what I decide to do? And she said this very thing, Delbert, I'm not smarter than you, but I have life experience that you don't have. That was some wisdom, wasn't it? And that wisdom, as I at almost 60 years old now, I'm going, oh, she was so right. She was so right. To grandparents, I hope you will share your life experiences with your grandchildren so that they will reflect on what you did during difficult times in your life or when you had to make decisions that may not have felt good, but they were the right thing to do. Let your grandchildren see the fun you can have. The fun you can have, no matter how old you are or how young you are. The fun you can have. Learn to laugh. Learn to laugh. My mom, my mom's maiden name is Peshik, and the Peshik family, they are a laughing family. I was at a service for my Uncle Don, mom's older brother, who passed away at 92, and Aunt Beverly is the only one left of the original seven children of the Peshiks. And the whole theme of that service was Uncle Don and laughter. It really was. Uncle Don is an unusual guy in that he loved to laugh so much that he would get laughing. You've seen people have a belly laugh. Ah! Uncle Don would roll on the ground. He actually would. 80 years old. He's laughing. He's rolling all over the place. And it's a hearty laugh, and you just laugh looking at him. Uncle Don, oh man, what a great guy. Share your life experiences with your kids. At appropriate ways for their age level. Share them. Let them see how wisdom handles situations. To parents, you are quite possibly the greatest influence that your kids will ever see. They'll see your faults and your imperfections, but if you admit them to your kids, they can see that it's okay to have imperfections. It's okay to be wrong. So today, grandparents, great-grandparents, and parents, let's look at five truths that your grandchildren, your children, that will help them obey God's word and be successful in terms of making their world a better place, in terms of being a influence, a godly influence in where they live. So number one, this is on your outline as well. Number one, help them know they have important work to do. Important work to do. Yesterday, at Mark Seltman's service, which was down at the high school, the reception was here. My son Justin is 27 years old. And I said, Justin, would you handle the elevator for me? I can't get back from the high school in time. And he said, sure, no problem. And he was there taking people down to the basement so they could enjoy the reception. And I didn't have to worry a bit about that elevator being used and correctly. And Justin was there doing that. When we got home, I said this to Justin. Justin, you're my hero. Because what you did was important. Was it not? We could say, oh, just an elevator, just took people down. No, it wasn't. It was important. And what your children do is important. No matter how big or how small. Let them know you believe that what they do is important, and they'll believe it too. Because it is. Because it is. Every work they do is important because when they begin to see the results of their work, when they hear you breathing words of life into them, they know and feel like they're contributing to a good cause, a good value in Christ. Number two, help them to learn how to love when it's easy and when it's hard. Larry and Margaret English and Gordon and Barbara, are you here? She's in nursery. Barbara's in the nursery. Okay. Would you guys stand, please? Gordon, please stand. Larry and Margaret. Larry and Margaret, how long have you guys been married? 62 years. Gordon, how long have you guys been married? 62 years. 62 years. Yeah. Thank you. You may be seated. You know what? You guys, and along with a number of other of you as well who have been married many years, have shown children and grandchildren, not just your own, what it can look like to have marriage a long, long time. I mean, you guys have been married longer than I've been alive. Yeah. Well, I could be your son. Yeah. That's right. Showing us how to do marriage and relationship, to do love when it's easy and when it's hard. And it's not easy. Just ask Barbara. You know, it's... I'm sorry, Gordon. Love is a choice. Yes? It's always a choice. And parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, listen to this. When your emotions are high, your decision-making can be greatly influenced by your emotion. Do not make big decisions under high emotion. Do not do that. Okay? Because you're going to regret it, right? Most likely you're going to regret it. Let that heart settle down. Let your children and grandchildren experience, I got to take some time, kids. And I got to go be with my Lord. And I've got to get focused again. Let wisdom have its way with me. Yeah. Marriage can be difficult at times. But love is a choice. Grandparents, model for your grandchildren how to love well. How to love well. It isn't always pretty. It isn't always nice. But there are many wonderful things about a love relationship that lasts 62 years and beyond. Tell them stories of when choosing to love was easy. What attracted you parents and grandparents to your mate? I love asking that question. Oh, so charming. Oh, the laughter. Oh, this and that. People will tell you all day long what attracted them to their mate. Love is easy when you're having fun being attracted to each other. And you know what? Not to put rain on your parade, but guess what? The things that usually attract us to each other in the beginning of marriage bother us later on. Am I right? Yeah. You just ask Kayla. Yeah. Yeah. Show your kids and your grandkids how to love well over the long haul. Number three, help them learn to believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Why? John 14:6. What does it say? Jesus said to his disciples, because he's explained to them in John 14, I'm leaving. What? You're leaving? Now, wait a minute. I'm telling you a truth right here. Here it is, John 14:6. I am the, say it with me, the way, the truth, and the life. I am the only way to the Father. There's no other way but me to the Father. Teach them the truth of that scripture. There isn't 99 different ways to Jesus, okay? There's a lot of religious beliefs out there, religious organizations out there who will say differently. And in fact, if it almost scares me to say this, that there's almost a new religion born every day. Some new kind of thoughts, not new, it's just an old misconception turned into a pretty package. But tell your children the truth. John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and life. I'm the only way to the Father. Number four, help your grandchildren have something to hope for. Hope for. What has gotten you, grandparents, what has gotten you through the tough days of life when you wanted to quit? What has gotten you through? It's the word hope. Hope says there's something to keep living for beyond today. Is that right? Beyond today, you live for that purpose when today looks pretty bleak. Because tomorrow is a new day. God's already in it. Isn't that cool? Grandparents, you are important to your grandchildren. Help them know this hope that we live for. Let me read a couple of scriptures here. Hebrews chapter 10. Great passage here. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25 says this. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. That word spur, you know, I think of spurs, you know, yeah, get on. Well, maybe, you know, spur one another. Spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Encourage one another. Why? Verse 25, let us not give up meeting together as is the habit of some, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you, what? See the day approaching, the day of God's return approaching. Grandparents, without you showing us how to stay put when things are not fun and how to live off of hope, man, I tell you, when I came here in 1994, this church had gone through a split. There was a lot of hurt feelings. And a number of people who were still here were folks who had said, I'm staying put. Yeah, it's hard, but I'm staying put. And you guys kept this church going. It was you choosing to follow God his way that kept this church going in those dark days. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. It says this: therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that for yourself? I have peace with God. Jesus is your peace treaty. And if you make peace with God through Jesus, you truly have peace with God. You may not feel peace, but we don't live off of feelings, right? We live off of truth. And truth is right here. It says, you have peace with God through Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Really? When's the last time you rejoiced in your suffering? Because we know the suffering does what? Produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character. And character produces what? Hope. Because character says, I've been through stuff like this before. I know how to stay here. I know my God is faithful. I know he's not leaving me. I know he's not letting me experience suffering beyond what I can bear. I know that. And because of that, I'm staying here. Tomorrow's another day. That's good stuff. Verse 5, and hope does not disappoint us. Hope does not disappoint us. That's a powerful phrase. If we studied that for the year, it would give you such power. Hope does not disappoint us. Why? Because God does not disappoint us. He does not pull out the rug and say, yeah, I've changed my mind. Doesn't do that. God is the same yesterday and today and forever. Hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Hope. Grandparents, help your kids know they always have something to hope for. And number 5, help your grandchildren learn how to show someone else they care. Invest in another human being. Love that transforms is love that is demonstrated. I'm going to say it again. Love that transforms people's hearts, helps them to see God for who he really is. Love that transforms is love that is demonstrated. Not talked about, not sung about, demonstrated. Yes? So say it with me. Love that transforms is love that is demonstrated. Amen. And I know you guys are doing a lot of demonstrating of God's love. It's powerful. And I'm very, very excited and proud of you for doing so. Grandparents, your greatest tools for teaching your grandchildren is to tell them stories. Who here does not love a good story? Your stories of life, stories of choices, good and bad, experiences of how God really has kept his promises over all these years of life. Tell your grandchildren stories. I wish now that I would have sat down with my big grandma and my little grandma and would have listened to their stories. How did they do it? So sit down and read to them. Read scripture to them. Read a story. A real account of real people having real life happening and how they got through. Finally, this morning, I'm going to read you a story. The story comes out of your hymn book, number 554, if you want to turn there and follow along. Let's read the story. When peace, like a river, attends my way, when sorrows, like sea billows, roll, whatever my lot, God, you have taught me to say, it's okay. It's well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though he should attack me, though trials should come, let this blessed truth control me, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate, and he shed his blood for my soul. My sin. Oh, the bliss of this one glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole. Is nailed to the cross. And I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. And Lord, hurry the day when my faith, where I can't quite see, I know you, yes, but I want to see you face to face. Hurry the day when my faith shall then be sight. And the clouds will be rolled back like a scroll. And the trump shall resound. And the Lord shall descend. In all this, it is well with my soul. Brothers and sisters, parents and grandparents, if you told your kids and you read this story to your grandchildren, just like I did to you today, they would go, wow, that's a powerful story. And it's a true story. Read the hymns to your children. Read the songs, old and new, to them. Sing it with them. And let them know that they have important work to do. Help them learn how to love when it's easy and when it's hard. Help them to learn to believe in Jesus. Help them to have something to hope for. And help them invest in another human being. That is a successful person. Who can teach that? And grandchildren, for you to learn that. Powerful. Powerful. Today we're going to stand and sing this very song, It Is Well With My Soul. And I want you to sing it, perhaps for the very first time, even though you've sang it many times. Sing it for the first time as a story. It's your story. It's God's story and your story. Amen? If you have a decision you'd like to make today about God's story and yours, would like to learn more about what that means, see me right back here at the Welcome Center right after this service.